listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here's what I want to do. I want to go around the horn, and I want everyone to just say, as a fan, as a human being, you don't even have to be a fan, what was the emotions? And let's start with Jonas.
As somebody who's lost family members, close immediate family members multiple times, instantly that same feeling came back. It's like people talk about how if you suffer an injury, when you see an athlete suffer the same injury, you know exactly what they're feeling because it brings back that memory and that feeling in that moment. And when I saw it happen, my immediate reaction was, oh, wow, there are so many family members, not just Kobe Bryant's family, but the other family and the victims on the plane. They're now going to feel that same thing that I know all too well. And I hate it for him. It's terrible. It's tragic. It's so sad when you think about a guy who really has progressed after his NBA career into a great businessman and winning an Oscar, and then, you know, being a dad and grooming his daughter to play basketball, and their relationship, and the fact that they were both lost amongst 9 victims in a helicopter crash not far from where I live was sort of surreal, and it still doesn't seem real.
So it was more not your loss of Kobe, but putting yourself in the shoes of his family.
Yeah, because of the fan stuff, the basketball stuff, you know, he had retired, and his playing career doesn't change. He wasn't in the middle of his playing career. We still have that career in totality and in full, but his life, the most important part of it, is now gone, and that's the part that shook me the most.
Yeah, that's a very thoughtful approach, right? Because I think humans are by nature self-involved, and some more than others, but thinking about your own pain and really, it's funny because if you do stop and not funny, but if you do stop and think about his wife, I mean, it's
terrible.
Yeah, I mean, just if one or the other had been lost, it's terrible. But the idea of both, I mean, and it's not... Not that if someone's sick, it's ever just okay if they die. But when, you know, I'm lucky enough that, you know, I've had only 2 grandparents that were very, like, second parents to me pass away. And it was tough. But every one of them, you knew a year before that it was coming, you know, to the end. And it, in a way, I think you grieve a little bit every day.
Yeah.
Right? But the idea of... super, you know, a child and a super healthy adult, and then 1 second it all changes. It's incomprehensible, I think.
And when you think about the fact that, I mean, these daughters are going to not have a dad to walk them down the aisle on their weddings, you know, at their marriages, or in their weddings. You see, Christmases are never going to be the same. Thanksgivings are never going to be the same. I mean, lives were not just the ones that perished, but multiple hundreds, if not thousands of lives were impacted and possibly ruined because of one moment in time that we can never get back.
That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell. Straight out of Vegas, coming to you from Miami all week, Radio Row. Great stuff, Jonas. I'm kind of interested. Do you get really philosophical, like at 3:30 in the morning on the weekends? Like,
well, it depends. It depends on how Knox Locks goes. If I've had a bad run, which I tend to do, I start to dive deeper into some other emotions because clearly the gambling ones aren't paying off. So
let's go to Vegas and Brad Power. Same thing. Speak from the heart.
Made me more aware about my own mortality, RJ. Kobe's only a few years older than me. And
well, you look much older than him.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And, you know, and when you're in college, you're in your 20s and even early 30s. I mean, you feel that invincibility. And you know, when stuff like this happens to people that you grew up with, because Kobe only being a couple years older than me, and to see them come and gone, not only their career, but now his life, to me, it's stuff I didn't even think about 10 years ago now crosses my mind on a regular basis, my own mortality.
So, Jonas, this is exactly the self-involved take I expected, right? he's like, how does this affect me?
he's in the middle of a fast. I've been there. You know, it can throw you off a little bit.
And Brad, just think of it like this. You're not the kind of guy that if you did one bench press, your rib cage would explode, right? So, I mean, you're not that old yet. Not yet. No, listen, we're only joking because it's so true, meaning that we all look at things through the lens of our lives, right? And sometimes, you know, in a way, Jonas, your seemingly altruistic, like worried about them, was really coming from your experience, right?
Yeah.
Under, you know, and that's all we got is our experiences.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if we're able to live our lives with that reality, but still be good to the world around us, that's the challenge. We all, Mother Teresa was self-interested because she enjoyed, she was satisfied by helping others. So yeah, others got helped, but for her, it was a good thing too. People don't do things that aren't good things. Even the guy that takes 10 years in prison because he doesn't want to rat on his buddy is doing it for himself.
Yeah.
His own self-image, his own code, whatever it is, right? Ayn Rand, last name R-A-N-D, who wrote Atlas Shrugged, a famous book, libertarians like, she has a lesser-known book titled The Virtue of Selfishness. And it's like a philosophical treatise, but it talks about that concept. Is ultimately, no matter how altruistic, how generous an action is, it's because that person is satisfied by generosity, which means that's a good person. That doesn't in any way take away from Mother Teresa. It embraces the reality of it. I'm RJ Bell. All right, Steve Fezzik thought. Now, Fez was thinking, let me guess, there was some thought of going, you know, it's not, kind of like Gecko. You know, he was on Short and NASA 20 minutes after the Challenger exploded. Were you thinking, is there any way to bet this, or was it human?
You know, I was thinking there were ways to bet, and I don't want to get into that yesterday, but this morning.
Well, let's tease ahead. At 6:46 Eastern, we'll be discussing those things. Go ahead.
This morning, when I took my little boy to school, I noticed that a lot more parents were walking their children into the courtroom, at the courthouse, the courtyard, excuse me, instead of just dropping them off. And I noticed that the hugs lasted longer and the kisses were more prevalent. And it really hit home that how an event like this can really impact society in general.
You mean where people through the shared experience are thinking about things differently?
Exactly.
Now, would you say, Fez, that inherent in your story, unspoken, is that you are there every day doing that good fatherly thing, but the others, it took a tragedy like this to get him there?
I did not say that, and in fact,
hold on a second. You noted, you said, I noticed there were more parents, which implies you're there every day to assess the ebbs and flows of the others.
Well, I'm there enough to be able to assess it, but I will say that I volunteered to take Johnny to school today instead of Mom.
Okay. And what percentage of the time do you typically do that?
20%.
Oh, so you were one of the ones that was there that usually isn't there.
Yes. There's
some other radio show right now where someone's saying, and even that one dude I finally saw with the big hair.
Yes.
All joke. And listen, it is my personality. When things are super emotional, you got to try to laugh a little bit, right? You're obviously not laughing at the tragedy. You're laughing that no matter what the human condition, there's a lot of things about it that are funny. And if they weren't, well, it'd be a lot harder, right?
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
With Kobe, the thing that strikes me, too, is the daughter. And the way that my mind, just by reflex, did this like 7 or 8 times where your mind drifts, you're reading something, you're doing talking to something, and then you drift back and you see it at the bottom of the screen and you re-remember it. And then you see the picture of the daughter and you think, like, not that Kobe going wasn't a tragedy, but there's something about the daughter going, too. And obviously what that is the idea of what life has been lived, how much of it, and how much was there to come, right? And as sad as it is that someone 90 that you love or that you observe from afar dies, but someone 9, it's a whole different equation. And it just makes you understand without a doubt that the equation of a tragedy like this is heartless and vicious. There's no right or wrong to this. You know, if you believe, if you're a believer in a greater power, or if you don't believe, it's incomprehensible to the human mind. You can say the world is amoral. It doesn't care about anyone or anything. There's nothing above. Or you could say, I believe with all my heart there's a God above, but I don't understand his wisdom. The conclusion is the same. You can't understand it. Now, obviously, if you believe, that can be comforting. And it's a wonderful thing for those who do. But it's not because she did anything wrong, right? When someone dies and there's a tragedy, even if it's not death, and they did something wrong, we can all say, well, he did drugs. He was driving drunk. Whatever. But she didn't do anything wrong. The kids in the leukemia hospitals aren't doing anything wrong. Is there a logic to it? Maybe. I don't understand it. And no human, I think, understands it. So that reality can be so daunting. And we really go through life sleepwalking a lot of the time for good reason. If you sat and contemplated the depths of the universe every day, how does that work? It doesn't. Sometimes the world around you forces you to think about it. And I think this is one of those times. And, you know, there's something universal about the underdog. Because you might say, Kobe, an underdog. Every human's an underdog against the universe. And it's funny, because if Kobe had divorced his wife or done something a typical rich guy would do, probably 50% or more of the listeners would be thinking, oh, that mother effer, you know, typical Kobe. But we all root for him or anyone that's trying to beat the odds in this world. And he did it with so much vigor. You know, that's the thing. He took that world on. And if you were against him, you didn't like that, but you kind of respected it. And there's a terrible universal truth that even Kobe couldn't escape. And no matter what, you can't get beyond the reach of life's gravity. And you know where gravity sends you, into the ground. And the fact that it happened at such a young age for him, and even a younger age for his daughter, just drills home that each of us have that very same reality that we're dealing with every day. And it also makes you wonder, it's like the old... the day the music died, right? There's a couple people, seats on the plane, and they decide who's on it. That plane goes down. It's like, how scary is that? The idea that if you take a left, you live another 50 years. You take a right, and you get T-boned in the intersection. But every day, we never know, unless this is a simulation, and maybe we would one day, what... We're all here right now. I know that much. If you're listening, what deaths have we avoided, each of us, because we took the left and not the right? And that's why, and this can help us, when something bad happens to you, you never know if it's really bad, because you never know what the alternative was. Imagine you take a left, you get T-boned and you're paralyzed. Sounds horrible. But if you had taken a right, you might have gotten killed. Or being paralyzed might lead you to start a company that lets you be a millionaire, and you your whole life were mad because you didn't have any money. Who knows, right? We all feel like we're victims of the past in some ways. Not victims totally, but in some ways we're afflicted by it. But you know what? You never know what the past meant, because the future is yet to be fully told. And yeah, you might say, well, my father was rough on me, and it made me like this, and then I had to get a divorce because of that, because of the way I was, because of him. Maybe. But who knows if the next year you don't get married again, get a foster kid, and change that kid's life, and that kid ends up being the president. You just don't know. Until it's but that's what makes the end so sad, because you now know with Kobe and his daughter, it's over. As long as you're still alive, you don't know. Even those things in the past that seem horrible. You don't know what the alternative was. And you also don't know what those horrible things are going to bring about in you in the future that might make it all a net better option. I was going to say net win. Feels like it's too serious for that. But ultimately, what is a win? It's better than the alternative. So to me, that the idea that there's so much out of our control, combined with the fact that there's no right or wrong. It's almost, think about when something happens to you and you feel aggrieved. You want to go tell it to someone. You want someone to hear you and say, you're right, that was wrong. There is no one because that we can talk to, because there is no entity that we are talking to that's dictating. It's cold uncertainty. And again, those with belief, even though they don't understand it, at least they have something to hold on to, and it's a wonderful thing.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I thought one of the more interesting parts of the coverage was the way they were tiptoeing around Kobe and the Colorado, you know, it'd be like the stuff that happened in Colorado. And it's like, let's be clear. There was accusations of sexual assault. There was a civil settlement. And certainly, it seems there was an infidelity. And he was married at the time. That's the truth. And you might say, let's not speak ill of the dead. No. This is what makes the man he turned into, it seems. I only say it seems because you can only know so much from a distance. But if we canonize him like a saint, it'd be a lie. If we say he's not a saint, it's the truth, but it's not profound. We're all limited. None of us are perfect. So if you just wave it away and say, well, none of us are perfect, what's that mean? It doesn't mean much. But it's the fact he was probably a below-average person at that time, a guy doing what he seemed to have done. You can't say that's like great as a character. And the man he was before he passed away, Kobe, seemed like he was way above average, right? And it connects with his family. Is when you're so focused on your career, on your craft, the family suffers. You can't be working 70 hours, 80 hours a week, and the family don't suffer. The fact that he found a way to put his passions post-career, and I'm not saying it didn't get better before the end of his career. Maybe it got better. I don't know. But it seems like certainly since he put that same passion into his family. And I'll tell you this, for every 100 bad dads there are, because they're so into their work, it's far less than 10 ever change. It's the same way at the end. And Kobe, at a young age, still not even into his 40s all that much, he had changed in a way. He was, a wonderful father. To me, that's what it's a great story. He went from what happened in Colorado to being seemingly a great father. And to me, we should celebrate that, because the fact he was imperfect, we all are. The fact he got so much better with his imperfections is a great, great, great thing. And I also think, finally, it's amazing that here's a man that was one of the best in the world. We saw what one in a million talent at basketball and one in a million work ethic combined could make one of the five best players of all time. But then after he retired, we saw with that same work ethic, with decent talent. He wasn't a one in a million Hollywood guy or whatever, but he won an Oscar. He wasn't a one in a million talent as a businessman, but he, by all accounts, was a good businessman. So it just goes to show you don't need one in a million talent. You just need that work ethic. And the fact that Kobe showed us that not only in basketball, but I think more insightfully in fields outside of basketball, is something I will miss, even though wasn't playing anymore, seeing how his career evolved, Jonas.
Yeah, no, I agree. And how he embraced his post-basketball career and moved so smoothly and transitioned into it and had success. He put all that same energy he had towards his basketball career into his post-career, and it was amazing.
It really was, because it wasn't obvious. All right, Fez, the sickos want to know. Tell us.
All right, so Toronto, San Antonio yesterday, they both teams ran 24 seconds off the clock, took a shot clock violation. Every other team after did the same thing. So obviously with one less possession for each team in the first quarters, first quarter unders is what I did bet yesterday, and I did bet them on the games tonight.
So literally you saw the tragedy on TV and your response was to call your bookie.
Yes.
I mean, listen, if anyone wants to wonder about how hardcore Straight Out of Vegas is, I mean, can you doubt? I mean,
unbelievable.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I respect it. I didn't do it, but I respect it.
That's Steve Fezzik.